fourth chapter, the book of Genesis. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. We'll begin at verse number one. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. She again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. In process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth. His countenance fell. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, I thank you so much for the word of God. I'm so grateful, Lord, that you have preserved your word for us. And I thank you that we have the privilege of reading it and studying it, preaching it. We're very thankful that for this church, a Bible-believing church, a people who know your word is true, and they believe it, and they trust in it, and for that I'm very grateful. Tonight, once again, this preacher needs your power, your wisdom, and I ask you, Lord, to help us through these services that you may be honored and glorified in all that is said and done. And we will remember to praise you for it, for all of your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight I'm just going to simply bring a message which we've entitled, Just Pleasing the Lord. We're going to begin on a little bit of a negative side of that before we get to the area of pleasing the Lord and what does please the Lord. I think all of you are familiar, if you're familiar with your Bibles, if you go over to the book of Revelation, to the third chapter, and where the Lord is writing a letter to the church of Laodicea. And one of the things that he mentions in there is about their lukewarmness, the lukewarmness of a church. It's one of those detestable sins that God says it makes him sick. He spew them out of his mouth. He said, I'd rather you be cold or hot, but not lukewarm. And again, I'm afraid there's living in a day in America, especially we here in America are too much lukewarm. There's some areas that we need to get on fire for. We need to get sharpened up on. But I notice in America mainly we're lukewarm when it comes to concerning sin. Just sin, we've learned how to just kind of sit down beside it and just accept it. We don't holler about it like used to be. We don't say as much about it. It doesn't tear us up inside like I believe it used to. I believe we've just kind of accepted the fact that it's there and it's going to be a part of life. And I'm afraid that it ought not to be. I'm saying I know the Lord hasn't changed in his estimation of sin. And it's still the same as it always has been. And it ought to be our estimation also. But we're living in a time when prominent citizens can go out and get drunk and commit adultery and all kinds of wicked sins, and no one's supposed to say anything about it. But I believe the church has a responsibility to say something about it. I think the church has a responsibility to call it out and say it is sin. I was amazed here the other day. I heard about a preacher that told about one of the independent, this was an independent Baptist man, who was going to help this individual, and he said, one of the things I want you to know is this. Now, we're talking about independent Baptists. We're not talking about some liberal or something. But he said to this preacher, I want you to do. He said, I want you to preach about sin, but preach about it in general. Don't name it. And I thought, my goodness, where have we come? And we're just kind of lukewarm when it comes to this thing about sin. It ought to make us mad. It ought to aggravate us. And we ought to be naming it. We ought to be crying out and naming sin. I think we've got lukewarm about Christian integrity. We come into a place where it seems like that Christians can do things, preachers can do things, and that used to be would have been a horrible, terrible thing, and it seemed like to some degree it's accepted. Many times they stay in their pulpits, they still preach, they do this and that, and Christian integrity is just not there like it ought to be. But I say not just for preachers, I say that for all of us. There's a responsibility for us to have some integrity in our Christian life. There's something about telling the truth. You know, we ought to tell the truth. And again, I've told you before, mentioned that here a while back. I'm not trying to belabor it, but it's one of those things that just grieves me. Seems so easy for people to lie. I mean, they just lie to you. Just absolutely lie. Boy, that grieves my heart. I don't know about you, but it grieves me. I mean, we ought to have some integrity. We're different. We're God's people. We're Christians. So there's a lukewarmness concerning Christian integrity. Not another thing. There's just a lukewarmness about obedience to Jesus Christ. I mean, just downright obedience to the Lord. Just doing what God says to do. We're living in a time, folks, when, you know, used to the basic things, we just simply did. Nowadays, we have to preach about the basics. We preach about those things that we ought to do by nature because of who we are. We're God's people. We're God's children. I mean, we ought to read our Bible. Amen. We ought to pray. We ought to witness. We ought to do those things. Why? Because we're Christian. I mean, we're God's people. And we become real lukewarm about those things that we ought to become just part of our nature. It ought to just be a part of us because of who we are, you see. And not only that, we also become lukewarm, and I mentioned prayer, but about prayer. Prayer is not like it used to be. You realize we have the greatest source of power that is available to us, and it seems like it's hard to get folk to pray nowadays. Not just the lay me down to sleep prayers, but I mean getting down face before the Lord and praying and asking God to do something for us and help us and do what needs to be done and just crying out to God for all those things we need. We need to get off of that lukewarmness about prayer. We need to get back to the old praying and get back serious with God. And then, of course, we have also a lukewarmness about Christian service today. I'm very thankful, very grateful for the people who serve God in this church. I'm so thankful for you, so grateful for your service to the Lord. But as overall in America today, there's just a lukewarmness about serving God Almighty. I read about a man. It was in an article I read down in Knoxville, Tennessee. He was a deaf and dumb man, could not hear, could not speak, and he had a job, and he rode the same bus to work for 7 years there, and every time he'd get on the bus, he'd sit right up there by the driver, and he'd open his Bible and read his Bible all the way to work. And the end of that story was, after 7 years of doing that, he was able to lead the driver of that bus to the Lord, because he saw some integrity, he saw some seriousness about who he was. And you know what? All your service to the Lord is not done here on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or a Wednesday night. Our service to the Lord is done all the time, every day of our life. Being that consistent witness for Jesus Christ. And I say to you, folks, that's the way you're going to see people won to Christ. When they see a consistency in your life that you are who you say you are, and you believe that not only with up here, but in your whole life, within your being, that you truly believe that. So there ought to be Christian service. We talk about Christian service a lot of times, and we indicate maybe it's them doing some job or something, and that's wonderful, because, boy, there's a lot of jobs to do, and we got a lot of people doing them. But it's more than just that. It's a constant consistency of a Christian life that just goes out there and lives that Christian life before the world out there on a constant basis, just doing it all the time, you see. That's the way you'll see people come to Christ, you see. And so there's a lukewarmness about that. And then, of course, there seems to be a lukewarmness about soul winning. Just going out and just being, as we talked about, consistent, but trying to presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ to people that they might hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about, getting the gospel out. Whether you do it through tracts, whether you do it through word of mouth, but it ought to be done on a consistent basis, just giving those tracts out, speaking to people about the Lord. When God opens up those doors, just simply tell them how to be saved, be a witness for Jesus Christ. And I say to you, there's a lukewarmness coming over the churches of America concerning soul winning and all these things that I have just mentioned to you. So we need to do some things. We need to look at what is it that pleases God. What pleases God? We know that lukewarmness does not please God. Now, is that right? I mean, will everybody in here agree with that? Lukewarmness, he said, spew him out of your mouth. He'd rather you be cold or hot, you know. Lukewarmness, no, that does not in any way please God Almighty. Now, if you'll just mark that down, you get a hold of that, you'll say, that's true, that's right. Lukewarmness does not please the Lord. Amen? I mean, we'll agree with that. Amen? So if it doesn't please the Lord, then we ought to be concerned. If we're lukewarm, we ought to be concerned. Don't you believe? Amen. All of us ought to be concerned if we are lukewarm. So we've got some people, where there's some multitudes of people we could go to in the Bible, but tonight I'm going to go to three individuals in the Bible and look at them and look and see how they please God. You see, if I find somebody knows how to please God, I want to get a look at it. I want to see it. I want to see what it means. And I want to say, if he pleased God by doing this and that, then I think I ought to please God the same way, you see. So what we're going to do is, I read to you in the book of Genesis here. First of all, we find a man by the name of Abel there in verse number 4. Said Abel, he also brought the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. He had respect for what Abel did. In other words, he pleased God. You see, and Abel here pleased God, first of all, because it was a blood offering. That's what he brought. It was a blood offering. There's nothing but the blood that's going to satisfy God. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And of course, he was speaking there of sin. So there's no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. So I say to you, there must be a blood offering. You can't get saved any other way. You can't get your sins washed away any other way. It has to be through the blood, you see, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must never forget that. If we come to God, we must come to him because of the blood. I'm reminded constantly in the book of Hebrews, every time I go to prayer, I'm reminded of that the only way that I can approach God, and he does tell me I can come boldly to the throne of grace, and the only way I can do that is always because of the blood, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't come upon my own, upon something I have done, upon something that I did to please God Almighty. No, it's all through the blood. You see, and so Abel's offering here was an offering, was a blood offering, you see, and it spoke of Christ down the road, see, on looking forward to the cross of Jesus Christ when he would die there on the cross shedding his blood. So it was a blood offering. And not only that, you'll notice, and I'm going to just turn over to the book of Hebrews. You might want to turn there to the book of Hebrews 11th chapter. We'll kind of go back and forth there a little bit. But in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, we find also it was said of Abel in verse number 4 of chapter 11. It says, by faith, I'll wait till you get there. Chapter 11, verse number 4 of Hebrews. Says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Notice there it says, by faith. So not only this was a blood offering, but this blood offering was offered by faith. Something that God said to do, and he did it because God said to. And it goes on to say that God testified of his gift. And of course he did. Testified that it was the right gift. It was a good gift. It was the only gift that he could bring, you see. And of course, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Well, you realize or not, tonight Abel is still speaking to us. We just read that. We read it here in the Bible. Abel's still speaking. He's still saying it's the right thing to do is to bring a blood sacrifice, you see. So he's still speaking to us. So we find that it was a blood offering and it spoke of Christ. But not only that, it was made in faith. Abel brought it by faith. Not only that, if you go back to Genesis 4:4, he says, and Abel he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. You notice it was a willing offering. It wasn't something that was forced upon him. He said he brought it. In other words, God didn't go after it. He brought it to God. He just brought it and laid it there as an offering before the Lord. He brought it to him as a willing offering. God's looking for folk today, folk, to just offer unto the Lord willingly. Give themselves willingly. You see, and if you want to get right down to it, you see, you can't get saved if you're forced to get saved, supposedly. And if someone forces that on you, no, you've got to be willing to receive and accept that which God gives unto us. It's a willing thing, you see, willing to be saved, willing to be born again. And it's the same thing as we present ourselves and whatever we bring unto the Lord. It ought to be a willing offering always that we give out of the willingness of our heart. And then, of course, in chapter 4 also, says, and Abel, he also brought the firstling of his flock and of his fat thereof. Let me say to you, he brought the very best he had. He brought that which was God wanted him to, and he brought the firstling. Now, I say to you tonight, folks, we ought to give God our best. We ought to be a people that will give God our best. Not the second best, not the third best, not the ending of things, but the beginning of things. God wants us to give him the first fruit, the very first. That's why when he talks about tithing, where does he tell us to tithe? The first fruit. No, it's not what's left over. It's not all those kind of things. It's from the first fruit, what God says, you see, we're to give unto him. So we find that he brought to God the very best that he had. And I'm saying to you folks, we ought to do the same thing. Amen. Here's a man who come and offered unto God. It was a blood offering. He came in faith. It was an offering made in faith. It was willingly. He brought it, you see. He brought it to God willingly. And not only that, when he brought that offering, he brought the very best he had. So I say to you, if Abel pleased God, which God said he had respect for Abel's offering, if God was pleased with Abel, then I think we ought to do the same thing and God be pleased with us. Amen? All right. Now, not only that, let's look also in the book of Genesis, the fifth chapter there of the book of Genesis. We find a man. I'm going to start reading verse 21. Says, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not. But God took him, for God took him, the Bible says. Here was a man who pleased God. He had a testimony of the fact that he pleased God Almighty. The Bible says he walked with God. He lived 65 years. He begat Methuselah. After that, the Bible says he walked with God for 300 years. In other words, it was just a way of life with him. His testimony was that he just kept walking with God. I mean, 300 years is a long time, folks. Amen. I mean, sometimes if we've been saved for 40 years, we holler hallelujah. Well, and that's good. I'm glad for that. But I want to tell you, this man walked with God for 300 years. He just walked with God. He had that testimony, and it's a testimony of the fact that he pleased God Almighty, you see. Why did he please him? Because he walked with God. Now, I'm saying to you again, folks, if we want to please God, we're going to have to walk with God. There's more to that than just talk. We're just going to have to walk with God on a consistent basis. Our daily lives, we're just going to have to walk with God. He's the one who's going to have to be controlling our life, over our life, deciding what we do, what we say, where we go, all those kind of things. We just walk with God. We make a decision in our life, we ask God about it. You see, and we just walk with him. We just do whatever he says to do. See, Enoch was a man who just simply walked with God. You see, that's not hard. You say it is hard. No, it isn't hard. Just do it day to day. Do it minute to minute. You ask God, what do you want me to do today? What do you want me to do right now? Well, just walk with God. Whatever God says, you do it, you see. And then you go along that day, and you go to bed that night, get up next morning, and you just say, God, I just want to walk with you today. I want to do what you say today. And when God tells you what to do, you just do it. I mean, amen. You just walk with God. That's the testimony that Enoch had. Now, if you go back with me over to the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, I want to read again what it says about Enoch here. In the 11th chapter, the book of Hebrews, verse number 5, he says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. You see, before he went up, before God took him, at the end of 365 years, the testimony was he pleased God. Now, folks, wouldn't you like to have that testimony? Would I like to have that testimony? I'd like to have that testimony. I'd like to be able to say, God would be able to say to Bob Ross, he just pleased God. I would want that testimony. You see, wouldn't you want that testimony? Wouldn't that be good? That be said about you? And that you could preach, you know? You say, Brother Ross, I'm not preaching. Yes, you are. You're preaching with your life. You see, if you go on now, if you die tomorrow, today, whatever it might be, you're going to leave some preaching behind. Oh, yeah, you're going to leave some preaching. So am I. I'm not just talking about pulpit preaching. I'm talking about our lives. You see, how we lived for God, how faithful we was. What did he do for the Lord, you see? Did we just believe in God? Did we mind him? Did we do what he said to do? Well, the testimony is here that he had the testimony that he just pleased God. And you notice then in verse number 6, it tells us, he says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you'll notice there again, and in verse 5 and in verse 6, it talks about faith. The reason Enoch pleased God is because he came to him in faith. And he walked in faith. And if you notice there at the end of that, he says, God, in verse 6, he said, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. First of all, we must believe that he is who he is, who he said he was. Amen. We must believe that. And then that God will be a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, he's not talking about salvation there, folks. We didn't seek God for salvation. He sought us. But after we're saved, we ought to be a daily testimony of our life that we're just seeking the will of God. And God will reward that, you see. That ought to be in your testimony, my testimony. That's the testimony we'll leave. We'll leave one of these days to our family and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. A testimony that we just believe God. Amen. And we, by faith, walked with God. That may not mean as much to some of you right now because you're younger. You don't think about those things. But I want you to know you're establishing a testimony right now in your life. You're establishing a testimony. And you don't do that overnight. That has to be a consistent week after week after week and year after year after year of just walking with God and pleasing God. Amen. So start now if you haven't already started. Just please God, you see. And that's what he'd want you to do. Not only that, if you go over with me to the book of Jude, there's something else said about Enoch. In verse number 14. Of the book of Jude. He says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. Now listen to this. This is some of the things that Enoch preached. Now he was a faithful preacher. Now listen to what he said. He said in verse number 15, to execute judgment upon all, to convince all that are ungodly among them of all of their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all of their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. I want to tell you something. Oh, Enoch was a preacher. I mean, he just preached. I mean, he preached about judgment's coming. Amen. He said judgment's coming, folks. And it was. See, it wasn't too long after that, you see, that the flood came. And he was preaching about this thing. He was preaching it. And he was a faithful preacher of God's word, you see. And he wasn't afraid to preach the hard things, the difficult things. Why? Because he was living in a time of judgment coming. They wasn't living in a time when people was walking with God as a whole. They was living in a time where there's wickedness, you see, and horrible things going on, just like we are. See, we're living a bad time. You may want to look at it as a good time. No. We're living a bad time. We're living in a time of unfaithfulness in America. You see, and terrible things are going on in America. Horrible things are going on in America. And we're headed for judgment, you see. Preachers need to get up and preach that. We need to just holler about that, preach about that, warn the people about it, you see. Can't make them do it, but we need to warn them, you see. So we find that here he was a faithful preacher of the Word of God. So again, I say to you, we find a man here in the Scriptures who was faithful to the Word of God. He was faithful to walk with God Almighty. Amen. Now, if Enoch could do it, you and I could do it. You say, boy, we live in troubled times. You want to live back when Enoch lived? Now, I say to you folks, listen, yes, it's troubled times. That's when the light ought to shine the brightest. I mean, hold the light up there. Get it up there. Yes, it's the times of darkness. That's when our lights ought to shine the greatest, you see. And we need to be that kind of people that will please God Almighty, not lukewarmness. Remember what we found out? Lukewarmness doesn't please God, does it? No, nowhere in the Scripture you find lukewarmness pleases God Almighty. That doesn't please him. It makes him sick. Amen. So we need to be faithful. We need not to be lukewarm. We need to be faithful. We need to be on fire for God Almighty. And here we find a man by the name of Enoch that was on fire for the Lord. Now let's go back again to Genesis, the 6th chapter, please. Might mention before we read about Noah, but if you look in the Scriptures, Enoch is a type of those that will be raptured out before what we call the Great Tribulation period, God's judgment. Enoch's a type of that. He was walking with God, and all at once he wasn't because God took him. That's the way it's going to be one of these days, folks. Just walking with God, and all at once, there we go. Amen. Up to be with him forever, you see. Isn't that wonderful? That's a picture of the rapture of the church. See, Enoch was taken out before the great flood. Now, Noah is a type of the Jewish Israel remnant of Israel who went through the tribulation period. Noah went through the great flood and came out on the other side, of course, safe and secure because he was on the ark. But I say to you, he's a picture of the Jews there that'll go through, and of course the others that'll go through the tribulation period, that'll be saved during the tribulation period and born again, you see. All right, now we look at Genesis, the 6th chapter, verse number 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We find a man here that God said he gave him grace. He looked at Noah's life, and he was a man, a faithful man. And I might say to you, I believe as you look at Noah's life, Noah was a man who just his whole life was dedicated to the Lord. He just done what God said to do. He was a faithful man, you see. He believed God. He walked with God. He served God, you see. And all at once, the hard times come, tribulation come. He just kept on serving God, doing what God wanted him to do, and God took care of him. Amen. So we find here that the Bible calls him a just man. The Word of God says that he was just. That's what the Bible says back in the in here, finding grace, you see. But if you go back to the book of Hebrews, you find again about Noah. It says by faith, in verse number 7 of chapter 11 of Hebrews, he says, by faith Noah, being warned of God, of things not seen, as yet moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. We find here again another man who was just simply walking by faith. He just walked by faith. He pleased God. He served God. He walked by faith. And when God warned him that some hard things was coming, difficulties were coming, he just simply done whatever God said to do. The Bible tells us also that he was a just man. In other words, he was a mature man. He was faithful. I want to take you to the Bible for a few moments and show you what God says about maturity. We need in Christian circles to grow up. I believe that with all of my heart. I see such babiness in Christianity today. I mean, first little thing comes their way. I mean, boy, they're just floored. They begin crying, putting their thumb in their mouth. And you have to get a pacifier out, and you jam it in their mouth, and you hold it in there, let them suck on it for a while, because they get all aggravated and mad at something that has happened. That's babyish. That doesn't please God whatsoever. He wants us to be mature. He wants us to grow up in our Christian faith. So if you'll turn over to the book of Hebrews, the 5th chapter of the book of Hebrews, I want to read to you something. The 11th verse, let us begin to read. He says, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Let me stop there just a moment. You know what God says? God says there's people who in Christianity, he says, who just simply ought to be teachers. By this time in their Christian life, they ought to be teaching others. They ought to be setting an example for other people. They ought to be establishing their Christian life and helping other folk to establish theirs, you see. That's what God says. But he says instead of that, they're just still eating meat and milk of the Word of God. Now, folks, that's bad business. You've been saved for a few years. You need to grow up. Amen. I understand for young folks, I'm talking about young in the faith, that just got saved. Boy, that takes time to grow. Sure it does. But people tell me, I've been saved for 10 years. Well, then grow up. I mean, come on, let's be mature in our Christian life. And if you'll notice, that's what he's saying here. We ought not to be still eating milk of the Word if we've been down the road quite a long ways. And we ought to be mature in our Christian life. And so he says in verse number 13, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. You see, and again he says, no, they've remained babes. You know why? They're still eating off the milk of the Word of God. That's all they want. It's all that satisfies them. They don't want the meat of the Word of God. They just continually eat off the milk, you see. Now he says in verse number 14, but strong meat, he says, belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And here he just simply tells us that strong meat will be for those who are full of age. In other words, mature. That's who's going to be able to take the meat of the Word of God and just take it and grow and be strengthened in the faith, you see. That's where God wants every single one of us. you had a little baby that didn't start to grow and didn't start to mature and didn't start to build some muscles and height to his body and didn't pretty soon wasn't able to crawl, wasn't able to walk, and wasn't able to talk. You'd be so concerned, you'd just get so upset, you'd run them to the doctors, get them to specialists. Amen. You know, I don't know what it is, but in spiritual lives we can just do that and everybody thinks it's normal. But it isn't normal. That is not normality. No, no, no. When we're God's children, we ought to grow. We ought to grow in faith. We ought to do that on a regular basis, you see. Be faithful to the house of God where you can hear the word of God. But not just that. Be faithful in your Christian life. Do the things that God tells you to do. Why? So you can mature, you see. And then you won't have to worry about all that babiness. You'll be so taken up with the things of God and what God wants you to do, and you'll be so concerned about other folk. You won't be worrying about yourself. And so what, somebody didn't speak to you Sunday morning, you're mad at them all Sunday afternoon, Sunday night, and the whole week after that. You won't worry about those things. Not if you're mature, you just won't worry about them. You just put them aside and go on and just figure that's the way it is and don't worry about it. They probably just didn't see me or whatever it is, and just go on serving God, you see. But so many people go home on Sunday morning mad, aggravated about something happened, and they spend their whole next week all mad and aggravated. You know what that is? That's babiness. That's babiness. That's not maturity. That's babiness. Chapter 11, book of Hebrews. Verse number 7 again, it says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." He was a man who feared God. I want to tell you, we need that. We need to fear God Almighty. Amen. We need to believe that God is who He is. We ought to fear God with the even thought that we might displease Him. Displease God? That ought to cause us to quake. We would displease God. And let me say again, what does lukewarmness do? Does it please God? Boy, I'm not getting very many no's, but let me tell you, it is no. Lukewarmness does not please God. He's displeased. You see, he's sick of that, lukewarmness. And yet we can go on in our Christian life, just be lukewarm about the things of God and figure that's just part of it. Or there need to be a real true dedication back again. Folk need to get back to the old-fashioned altar, get on their knees and cry out to God and say, "God, I'm just lukewarm and I'm displeasing you, and I want some fire in me. I want to do what you want me to do, and I want to please you for the rest of my life." That's what we need. Amen? That's what we need, you see, because the other displeases, you see, God Almighty. We need to please the Lord. So we find that Noah was a man who feared God. Now you say, "Brother Walsh, what does fearing God do for us?" Let me tell you what fearing God does for us. It causes us to be obedient. Now you say, how do you figure that? Well, listen to what he says in there. He said, "He moved with fear, he prepared an ark to the saving of his house." I mean, Noah didn't just sit around and say, "I fear God, I fear God, I fear God." No, he got busy. He said, God's going to send a flood on this earth, and I'm going to get busy, and I'm going to get that ark prepared for the saving of my house." He got busy building the ark. And I say to you, if there's a real fear of God in our hearts, we'll get busy. Won't anybody have to stir you? Won't even anybody have to holler at you? You'll just get busy, preparing that ark, getting folk into the ark of safety, which is Jesus Christ, you see. If there's a real fear of God, that's what it'll produce. It'll produce obedience to God Almighty. So I'm saying to you again, well, these are the kind of folk that we ought to be like. You see, why? Because they please God. You see, these people please God. They walked with God, you see, and it brought obedience to Noah's life when he truly feared God. He was moved by that fear of God. Amen? I mean, it moved him to get busy. So again, I say, should not we be moved with the fear of God? Should we not be moved by the fact that God is displeased with us? Amen? I mean, old lukewarmness and God's displeased, and does that move us whatsoever? Is there a fear of God there, you see? Well, I believe something. If you want to please God, I believe, first of all, you're going to have faith. You're going to have to walk with faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And we're going to have to be a people who walks in faith. Of course, first of all, coming to Jesus by faith. Receiving Jesus Christ as our personal Savior by faith, putting our faith and trust in Him, not in the church, not in baptism, not in good works, not in any of those things, but Jesus. Amen. Jesus. is the one that will save your soul, you see, and give you eternal life and get you ready for heaven, amen, take you there when you die. You see, Jesus will do that. So we're going to have to be a people who comes to God in faith, receiving Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and then also walking in faith. Just constantly just walking in faith, by faith, you see. This week, I think it was Sister Terry, she was talking about some of her family has to be tested for this illness that John and his brother has. And she said, I'm just trusting God. I'm just going to trust God. God will take care of all that. And that's what I like to hear. I mean, just God will take care of it. I mean, you know, you could tell she meant it. I mean, she wasn't bragging. She wasn't. She just simply saying, I'm trusting God. Amen. Well, that's what all of us ought to be doing. Amen. Just trust God. It may not be an illness with you. It may be something else. Maybe some other problem or some difficulty in your life. But just trust God. Walk by faith, you see. And that pleases our God, you see. And then, of course, he tells us in the Word to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. In other words, folks, we need to get away from this walking in the flesh all the time. See, Brother Ross, I got two legs and I got a body and I have to walk, have to get around. I know, but that's not what God's talking about. We ought to walk in the Spirit. In other words, letting the Spirit of God lead us as we walk. Amen. Just let the Spirit of God lead you and guide you and direct you. And remember this, he'll never direct you opposite of this book. I always had to throw that in there. And the reason I have to throw that in there is always somebody come up and say, yes, Brother Ross, you know, I just let God, the Spirit, lead me. Well, let me tell you something. Sometimes when people talk about that, they're being led contrary to this book, and God never does that. If the Spirit of God will lead you, he'll lead you according to this wonderful book, his Word. Amen? But at the same time, we ought to be led by the Spirit of God. We ought to let the Spirit of God direct our life and teach us and help us and show us what we're supposed to do, you see, according to the Word of God. Amen? And of course, then we ought to, not only as we walk in the Spirit, there ought to be a desire in our heart to simply please God. I mean, really want and desire to please him. And I would ask us all tonight to just take a little bit of a look at our life and just maybe take a moment right now and just ask ourselves, is our desire of my life to truly please God? Is that the desire of my life? I mean, in every area of my life, I want to please you. Amen. You see, that's what we ought to ask ourselves. And then if we can't say yes, maybe we ought to ask ourselves why. You know it's the best thing for all of us. It'll be the best thing for life. It'll be that which God wants for you and is best for you and me. So why would we say, God, I'm sorry. I just don't in that area want to please you. Oh, that's bad business. Now, we need to ask ourselves, are we willing to simply say, Lord, I want to please you? I'll tell you what that'll do. That'll just change a lot of things in our life. Yeah, it will. It'll change where we go, change how we dress, change how we wear hair, change what we say. It just changes a lot of things. You know why? Because the Bible says it. Not because this preacher says it, because the Bible says it. It'll just direct some things in our life. Why? Because it's pleasing to God. See, we won't ask ourselves what I want to do. No, we'll say, what do you want me to do, Lord? What is best that would please you? I mean, it'll change some things. Amen? It'll just change us. So just ask you tonight, don't be lukewarm. If you're lukewarm, don't stay there. Don't stay there. I've seen folk for years and years just kind of stay in lukewarmness. Just stayed there. Folk, don't do that. That displeases God. Amen. It really does. It just displeases God. So let's please him. Let's be like Abel. Let's be like Enoch and Noah. Let's be people who just walk with God on a daily basis. And it could be said of us, we just please God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, again, I thank you for your goodness and your kindness and for the Word of God, and I thank you for these examples you've let us look at tonight. Lord, I'm so thankful, and we certainly need to be like Abel and bring that right offering. Need to be like Enoch and have a testimony that we please God. And like Noah, who by faith was moved with fear, and he prepared an ark. We just need to be serving serving you and loving you and being what we ought to be. So I pray tonight that you help us, Lord, to just please you. And we'll thank and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.